Hello, it's Alice Arnold here. Welcome to the Magic Musicals and Theatre Podcast. This week's podcast is rather special. It's about a new musical opening soon called Curtains. It's by Kanda and Ebb, and we went along to the rehearsal rooms to have a chat with Ori Aduba, Jason Manford and Carly Stenson. We've started now.
Oh, we are.
So we've arrived in these rehearsal rooms in Pimlico. And what I love is when you arrive at a rehearsal room, and we went upstairs first, and there's all these incredibly young people sitting around relaxing in the position of the splits.
I was going to say, relaxing for you and me is not what they're
these
doing.
These are the dancers, and the, I hope they're the dancers, otherwise...
Those are the ones that are going to take the roof off,
Yeah, and then you do just come out of that room and you just feel about 95.
Well, my knees have started shattering and I haven't done anything just on staring at them, because the choreography is the thing that's going to take the roof off. I can assure
you. Is it? I'll ask you about that.
They are working them to the bone. But no, I was saying, because we come into this room here, if I can take over for a minute, Alice, and go, okay, don't say anything, because hold it all for the podcast, because it's all really good stuff. Because I didn't get a chance to meet you properly when we were at Magic at the Musicals a couple of years ago. Where Ruthie Henschel was hosting it, and I can't remember who else was hosting it, but I took my wife.
Oh.
And genuinely, it was kind of at that time, because when was that? That I think was 2017, and I think it was like late summer, and it was the first, around about the first time I was making a foray into musical theatre. So it wasn't just I was randomly invited there because I might have won Strictly a few months before. I was there because I wanted to be more inspired and I wanted to meet some of the aficionados.
So this is like a perfect circle here, this sort of serendipity.
Yeah, we were meant
Do you know
to
the other thing
together.
That's perfect, Ori, is what? That we are actually twins.
Are we?
We're born on the same day.
17th well, of November?
Yes. However,
oh, hi, twin.
However, I'm just very, very slightly older than you.
Who's counting numbers?
Very, very slightly.
In the universe, it only comes down to that certain day.
Yeah, and only one in 365 people.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh.
So there we go.
Well, now, lovely to meet you properly, twin.
So, yeah, Ori Aduba, you... Well, we knew you before. Telepresenter... doing Commonwealth Games, doing Olympics, doing sport, a lot of sport stuff, basically.
Yeah.
And then suddenly you're in Strictly, and then you win it, and then you're now a musical theatre person. Is that the thing now?
That is the condensed version, yeah.
Do you still take any interest in sport?
Do you know what? Now I can watch it as a fan again, because I think when... And we know this very well. And when you're part of a sport broadcast, there is so much work that goes on before you actually get to the moment of going live that it's actually, in a way, it's kind of quite nice to be able to have to have taken a step back and be able to just watch it as a genuine viewer and a fan, and it's lovely. But that totally happened. I was at the Rio for the Olympic Games. And I pretty much got on a plane from Brazil and got on a train to Elstree Studios to start Strictly, almost within 24 hours of landing.
So you knew during Rio Olympics that you were going to do it?
I got revealed while I was on air. We were hosting a BBC 4 coverage of the Games, and they said, we're going to release the news at 7 p.m., our time. I was like, okay, that's probably fine, because I think I'll be off air. And it was 4 p.m. I think it was 3 hours difference. As it was that particular day, our show, because of the way, maybe it was the swimming was going on, went on. So I was still on air at 4 p.m. And I kept my phone with me at the time. And I remember it being in my back pocket. And bang on 4 p.m., if I can say this, Alice... my ass was on fire with the amount of messages that came through. It was like an electric shock. Every time one came in, it was ridiculous. I was like, I've got to host a show at the moment. But it was the reason was because everybody who was close to me, friends, family, knew how much that show had meant to me for a very long time. Obviously, they didn't know I was on the show, but that moment, they were like, oh my God, Ori's doing this show he had dreamed about.
So you'd always wanted to do it.
I had always
wanted to do it. And had you always been a musical theatre fan?
I had. Do you know, I took my wife to New York for our very first breakaway, for our very first Valentine's Day, if you will. I'm a romantic at heart. We went to watch Chicago on Broadway. And that was kind of a spark lit, and it was a bit more real. I'd always done theatre as a kid. I did, if I wasn't on a sports field, I was on the stage. So I did a lot of theatre. I actually did a lot of singing. All untrained, I did a bit of theatre studies for a GCSE, but I just really loved being on stage. So the gear that changed was when I was on Strictly, and most normal people would be on a stage in front of 600 people live in the audience and 10, 12 million people would think, I should best run away. This is not for me, but because I'm slightly different.
Are you a show-off, Ori? Is that what we're saying?
Maybe at heart. I know I am. I've always been a show-off. I've always been one mucking about, but usually getting away with it because I had the prefect's badge at school. So I was the one behind the scenes actually burning things, but they would just blame it on the bad kids. So I kind of always have had that, and Strictly enabled me to realise or remember how much I loved performing. I always put it like this. For anyone who's ever watched the film Hook with Robin Williams, when he remembers that he was Peter Pan, he's like, oh my God, I can fly. I genuinely, there was a moment being on that Strictly floor where I remembered, oh my God, I was 18 and I loved being on stage. And that was when I thought, I can't let this go. This has to be the path I carry on after this show.
And did you realise, even if you hadn't won Strictly, did you think, this is where I'm going now. This is my true love, more than the
win was the reason I thought that it's not a completely bonkers idea. Uh-huh. Because if I had just got to the final, and hey, all of us were going to be so supportive of whoever won that day. But if I had just got to the final, I would have enjoyed the profile and the platform that comes with a show like Strictly, but probably had left it at that, and it would have ridden a wave, and then it would have, okay, we would have consolidated.
Do you think, seriously, if you hadn't actually won it,
yeah,
it would have been that fine a margin?
Yeah,
because
completely.
To get to the final, mm-hmm, is always an amazing feat. You know, I mean, they're incredible dancers on that show, and by the time you've got rid of the less talented ones earlier
you
in, the,
Go on,
earlier in the series, I'm not going to. You know, when you get to the final, you've always got three top dancers there.
It's absolutely, and we were in such an amazing year, and I'm so lucky that all of these lot are still really good friends. But no, I think it was because at the time there was only 14 people that had won it, and I thought to myself, okay, well, if I don't use this opportunity now, in 10 years' time, I'll only live to regret it. So I need to do something that I want to do and I would love to do and I think I can do going forward for the next 20, 30 years.
And here you are. We're in rehearsal rooms. I didn't even say what for.
What's that piano?
Well, you mentioned that you took your wife on your first anniversary or Valentine's to see Chicago.
Yeah.
Now, this show is written by Kanda and Ebb, who wrote Chicago. So yeah, there we go. There's another little circle going on.
I've just realised that synergy, actually.
Yeah. But this is
called, you my guardian angel?
I might be.
Yeah.
It's that November the 17th thing. This is called Curtains.
Yes.
Now, I like to think I'm fairly well-versed in musical theatre. Mm-hmm. I don't know this show. It's not often done.
It's not been done. This will be the European premiere.
Mm. We'll do that again.
Premiere.
Yeah, it's like coming to a cinema. Yeah, exactly.
To a theatre near you.
Oh, that's awfully good. That's another job you can do now.
Okay. Anybody got a pen? We need to start racking up these jobs. So it is written by the music behind Kanda and Ebb, the guys behind Chicago and Cabaret. And I think That is, for those who aren't familiar with the show, is going to be one of the massive pulls, because this show is so unashamedly big brass and Broadway. It is just a 24-carat entertainment vehicle that I know that people will love. And Alice, I can't even tell you. I met the producers. I did a scene. I read some of the scene, and I did the number, and I loved it already. I hadn't even scratched the surface of some of what is on offer on this show. When I actually took the role before I'd read the full script. I'd known Jason before. I've known Jason for a number of years. Carly and I are also really good friends. She's married to Danny, who was on our series of Strictly, and together, us and our partners, we came really, really close. So to have Jason and to have Carly in the cast, that was kind of enough for me. I could do the song. I was like, if I could manage that, all right, okay. I think there's enough in here for me to get my teeth into. And then I read the full script. I was, you know, like, when, as often as the way, if you're having a bit of private time with your partner, whether it's listening to music or reading a book, I was that partner when I was sitting there reading it with my wife, who they're like, what are you laughing at? What are you even doing? You're getting me really annoyed because I'm not part of your joke. I kept spitting out my coffee reading this script. And I think that is what is so good about it. It's the music, you know, before you've entered the theatre is going to be off the scale. But it's so funny. And jokes that you don't see coming, they'll slap you before you've realised it.
Tell us about the character you play, Aaron Fox.
Aaron Fox. I just went back into non-character. He is the composer of the show within the show. So Curtains, it's a musical whodunit. It is set with a show within a show, and essentially the cast are trying to put on this ill-fated production. And in the final scene of the show, one of the cast gets murdered. So for the next 2.5 hours, we watch everybody trying to figure out who's done it. And the audience come along with you on that journey, because it could be absolutely anyone. And it's a fun follow along. Within that show, Aaron is the composer. And he cuts quite a frustrated figure because he loves his music. He's kind of obsessed with it. He would sleep with his music sheets if he could. But he also still loves his ex-wife. It was Georgia, as played by Carly, and he really, really wants to return to what brought them together as writing partners. She's the lyricist, and as obviously partners in a relationship as well. So he's got this sort of dual thing on. He really loves his work and he wants it to be right, and it's not going quite right. But at the same time, he's got some serious stuff going on in his personal life. And we see it all play out in front of us, which often is the way with our relationships, because we can't say it to each other individually. It's only when someone else lights your touch paper, you're like, well, actually, you didn't put the dishes properly in the dishwasher. That's why they're still dirty, okay? A little insight into my house.
Into most of our houses, I think. You sing a song called I Miss the Music. Is that your main number?
Yeah,
is that the one? That's the big number. Mm-hmm. Is that the one you sang for the audition?
That was the one I sang for the audition.
Is that going to be the big hit of the show, do we think?
Oh, my goodness.
Or are there so many?
Yes, it will be. No. there are so many great numbers. Actually, the big hits are going to be the one where the full company comes in together, because there's a number in there called Show People that Becky, Locke, and Jason lead, and then you have the whole of the company coming in, almost charging military-like, but with vocal and danceability. It's really, really powerful. So there are a number of big showpieces in the production like that.
Now, listen, you're going off to do Panto as well in the middle of this, aren't you?
Yes. Panto, I signed up to Panto before this lovely
right.
job
Right, I wondered
came
how
in.
That was working, because I looked at the tour dates and sometimes it says that you're performing and sometimes it doesn't say that you're performing, in which case I presume
yes.
someone else is performing.
Ori is performing while in you, selected venues.
Yes, while you go out and do Panto somewhere else. Where are you doing your Panto?
It will be in Croydon.
Okay.
The Fairfield Halls.
Fairfield
and
Halls.
The brand new
yes.
Fairfield Halls in Croydon with Tim Vine doing Cinderella.
and his one-line jokes.
Oh, he's going to be full of them. He gets me on the floor. But yeah, so I will be doing curtains. Before this, I was in Greece, which was my first musical show, and then there's a Panto at the end of the year. So three shows in 6 months, I think, will be... I'll certainly know by 2020 if I'm cut out for this.
Well, I was going to say, you're so much in demand now. You can't, even do the full production of this one because you're off doing your Panto.
Well, I'm
and
very
then
lucky
presumably
they...
something will come up straight after this and you boom 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 you're gone.
Well, she'll see.
That sports broadcasting is way behind you now.
Well, do you know what, I never do goodbyes. I'm just really fortunate that I was able to do something and add it to the repertoire, and that's the thing, because I still do Radio 2, I still host TV shows. There's another show that we're doing for BBC One, a big award show that's coming up. And the idea for me with this was always to add the string to the bow, and to be do something that you love, because that's the when you never work a day, isn't it?
And do you do crying in this? Because you did quite a lot of crying in Strictly.
Well remembered. No, I mean.
Did you not want me to bring that up?
No, that is simply etched. I was
it's
crying
the
yesterday.
Emotion in you.
I was crying yesterday when you've got a 19-month-old son. Oh. you look at him and you go, who blessed me with this? And then he throws mashed potato on the walls. It's very emotionally, I'm a wreck. But no, there isn't too much crying. There are some tender scenes. I think maybe if I'm not doing the crying, someone else might do. But you will love this show. Alice, if you aren't there on either the first night or the press night or the Wimbledon night, I'm giving you London opportunities here.
Give me London opportunities.
Then there's something, you won't be my guardian angel anymore. That's what I'm going to say.
Well, there's ended with a threat. we can't wait to see it. Thank you so much
My
for coming in to talk to us. I get back and practice your songs.
I've
so
got
it's
some
the
other
of the
yes,
show.
I've
go
got
on.
Some things to do, haven't
yeah,
I?
Yeah, go on. Jason Mountford has taken over the warm seat of Ori.
Oh, it's lovely.
Is it warm?
It is actually, yeah. He's a warm man.
What's this about new dancing shoes, which are not, you're
no,
not wearing, because those
no,
are just basic Nike trainers.
These are just normal trainers, yeah. I spent a week in trainers, and then I was like, this is not working.
What, so do you need those ones with little heels?
You've got like a little heel and smooth underneath.
So you can slide.
So you can slide.
Because this show is set in late 50s,
yeah,
is that
1959.
Right? 1959. So is that sort of American smooth type? Is that what we're talking
yes,
here?
Yes, exactly. Around
that sort of choreography.
And if you imagine like Gypsy's just about to go into Broadway, and you know those shows are around. So, yeah, there's lots of 42nd Street. I imagine that is not too far away, and you know, so you've got those sort of
big
numbers,
American,
yeah, big top hat,
big
type
stuff.
Numbers.
Oh,
that's
have
my
you
agent.
Got? Yes, that's something. So, get out of this show now.
Magic,
is it?
Yeah. So it's So it's a lot of that going on.
Yeah, and it's set in Boston.
Boston.
Now
yeah.
I think that we saw the dialect. I love watching rehearsal rooms.
Charming.
I think the dialect coach was in today to do the Boston accent. I've just come back from Boston.
Oh, so you'll have heard a lot of it.
Well,
yeah,
except I think a lot of people in Boston don't come from Boston. But
yes,
it's we're talking Kennedy land, aren't we? We're talking that. If you imagine, I guess, if you imagine Kennedy accent, which is quite very, very different from
obviously
New York.
Obviously, he's very upper class,
yes,
you know, and rich
Boston.
So, I'm a detective, so... I play Frank Chaffee, and he is... So it's sort of slight... It's got a New York sound to it for a lot of it, and a bit of Chicago. But then every so often, there's like these... you know, don't park your car in the Harvard car park. You know, it's got that sort of hard ass sound, you know. Not that I ever say that line.
Is it not in the show?
It's not in the show, no. But that's the one I use before I sort of start talking. Don't park your car in the Harvard car park, which is great. And it's really fun.
You're playing a detective.
Yes.
And you've got to solve. We all know there's a murder now.
There's
that's
a murder.
Not giving anything away. Yes. There is a murder, and it is your job the murder.
Yeah.
And you said that you were doing research or whatever on detectives to get the. Are you in a. I can only imagine. Are you in a raincoat?
I, of course, have a traditional.
And
Mac,
a trilby.
Yeah. But it's not. Yeah, I have a trilby as well. It's not. But obviously it's in a theatre, so they come off pretty quick early on.
Right.
I'm not walking around for the whole time. And it's not a filthy Mac. It's not a Columbo.
Okay.
I do have a beautiful Just One More Thing moment later on in the show, which really, I really I feel like Peter Falk is around somewhere, and I just one more thing. Like, it's a real. I'm like, yeah. Oh yeah, it's great. It's very exciting. But it's great playing the detective. It's although weirdly, I've been invited to a friend's birthday party this week, and they said it's a murder mystery night. I said, oh God, I spent 7 months in a murder mystery.
Well, now you've not long finished your comedy tour.
That's right.
Was a huge tour.
Yeah,
you did.
Yeah,
I mean, masses. And then we met you in these rehearsal rooms when you were just about to do a concert version.
Oh yeah, Guys and Dolls.
Guys and Dolls.
Yeah. Yeah.
But this is a full tour.
Full tour. Curtains. And a full rehearsal schedule, which is great.
Yes. So you got
Guys and Dolls was 10 days. Yeah. And then at the Albert Hall. This is 5 weeks. Yeah,
this is 5 weeks, and then off on tour. You're not bored of the touring thing.
No, I've got to say,
like,
I finished my tour in April. I hope my wife doesn't listen to this. I finished my tour in April, and then I had the summer off, and then we actually had 4 weeks of holidays over the 6 weeks holidays with
where
the kids.
Where did you go?
Went to Portugal.
Nice.
I was back a couple of times for work, but we were there, and that's where we based ourselves, and it was lovely. And then I think we came home on the Monday, and a week ago or so, a couple of weeks ago, and on the Thursday, my wife's a TV producer, and we both sort of had a moment where we were like, oh, I can't wait to go back to work. There's something about the, you know, just having a schedule and deadlines and just things that you think, oh, I sort of like, you know, I kind of like it, you know. So, I was very much ready to come back to work. And I also, you know, after, so I finished in April and then had, you know, May, June, July, August off, really. And I sort of was around with the kids and doing all those things, which is lovely, but I do like.
But that's long enough. Yeah.
I like
back to work.
Also, you know, I like to give the kids a work ethic. Well, this is how
work. Actually, Dad.
Do you like nice things? Right, well, you've got to work.
Dad and Mum do actually go to
absolutely.
Work to earn the thing. Yes, yes, quite right. Instill that in them.
Yeah.
Had you heard of this show before you
never
do it? No.
No. Obviously, I know Kander and Ebb, but, and seen their, you know, Chicago and Cabaret and those shows. But I'd never heard of it, but everyone you speak to in the industry loves it, knows it and loves it. You know, they saw it on Broadway, they did it at drama school, whatever, you know, and they love it. I think because there's quite a few sort of show business type jokes in there, you know.
And it is a show within a show, isn't it?
It's set in a theatre.
A show is going on, yeah.
One of the cast members is murdered in the first few minutes, and then I play a detective who also loves a bit of amateur dramatics. Like, that's his big love. So when he comes to be solving a case in a theatre is his dream come true, to be surrounded by all these brilliant
it's like Jane Tennyson suddenly.
Yeah, exactly. Just come
let's
in.
Let's do the show right here.
Exactly, yeah. So it's he's having a whale of time. And he ends up sort of, so he's solving the murder, but he's also trying to solve a couple of the problems in the show. You know, there's some music problems, and there's a dance number that doesn't work, and
when he turns his hand to that,
people are a bit pitchy, and so he ends up sort of doing that. So there's some moments where he's like, "Oh, I've got it," and they're like, "What? You've worked out the murder?" He's like, "No, I think we should in the last act we should fix that song." You know, so it's really fun to play because you don't quite know what he's talking about at any one time.
And the dancing, because most of the musicals I've seen recently have been sort of modernised versions of things, and the dancing is very hip hop and highly energetic.
Of course,
presumably this is 1959 style choreography, glamorous, lovely outfits, lovely.
Yeah, it's all
of that.
You know, I mean, it's sort of slightly after your sort of Fred and Ginger, but we reference Marge and Gower Champion and the sort of the dancers in the sort of 40s and 50s, and it's really lovely. Like, if you like an episode of Strictly, you'll be like, oh, I like this.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
And you're doing this, obviously you are, because you've got the new dancing shoes.
Yes, exactly, yes. I do a couple of numbers, but I'm not the one. If you're coming for dancing, that's not,
is it not
for,
you?
Don't come for me. I'm all right, you know, I can learn them. But the ensemble are phenomenal. I mean, just, I don't know where these guys come in and, you know, they must be burning 5,000 calories every morning before they've even had the lunch. Like, they're sweating to learn these numbers, and they're brilliant. They're so, and the choreography is so imaginative and so just delightful, and it lends itself to the story. It's going to be spectacular, and I think it's actually going to be one of those shows that you think, you know, you'll come and see it in, you know, Glasgow or Manchester or wherever it is, and think, crikey, that feels like a West End show. but in our town. But we didn't have to get the train down to London and spend an extra
And do you think, well, it might be a West End show, or is there no plans?
It feels like a West End show. Yeah. I mean, they're talking about it and they're looking for theatres, mm-hmm. I imagine, but it's, it feels like a West End show, and the set's fabulous, and the and like I said, it's, you know, it's Candor and Ebb, you know, and they are, they're the best, you know, mm-hmm. so it's a real treat to be doing a show that's the last one that they wrote together.
You know? And you're leading the company, Jason, so I was going to say, well, what after this, but you don't know what after this, because you don't know what after this is, because this might be a two-year run in West End or whatever.
Yeah,
I mean,
you know.
How long's a piece of string? We don't know, do we?
No, not really.
So, what do you prefer? Do you like doing this better or stand-up better?
I like the mix, really. I like being able to mix. I think after doing 260 dates on your own, you know, as a stand-up around the country and around the world, really, you know, you go all over the place. It's quite a lonely job, really, you know. I mean, don't feel sorry for me. We've got a lovely extension. But it is a lonely job, you know, when you are away from, and you do miss things, and, you know, it can be hard. So doing this, and I'm not one of those machine comics who can knock out a show every year like your sort of Jimmy Carr's and people like who are just able to just bam. I need a bit of time to process and come up with a new idea for a new show. So I tour once every sort of, you know, three, four years or so. So I've obviously got to do stuff in the middle of that. Mm. And so this has really come about. I think this is my fifth show or sixth show now. And I enjoy then being on tour with people and being part of a company, and so the pressure, although the pressure's still on, you know, you're still the name on the poster and you still got to get it right, and people are waiting on your lines and, you know, making sure you've stood in the right place, the shared pressure is just, it's just a much nicer feeling. So, but then at the end of that, you know, in April, I'll be thinking, get me on my own again. I've had 7 months with actors.
But what would be lovely about this is that you're all creating something new together.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not new, but it's new to England.
Yes, exactly.
Or to the UK.
Yeah, quite.
And you're all creating the parts from scratch. You're not no one's taking over from anybody else, and it will make or break on what you all.
Yeah, and that's a big deal for me as well, because I mean, the last thing I did, well, the three shows that I sort of have done recently have all been done that everyone knows a version of it, you know. So Nathan Detroit, I was like, well, I saw Nathan Lane, or I saw Bob Hoskins, or you know, I was Caractacus Potts in Chizzy, or I have Dick Van Dyke, or you saw Michael Ball, or, you know, Gary Wilmot, you know, and Leo Bloom in Producers is the same. So to do something where you are, although David Hyde Pierce played it really well on Broadway, and I think he won a Tony for it, and there's certainly aspects that you go, oh, that's a good idea, I'll use that, you know. It's great to be able to just do something fresh and fun. Yeah.
And when do you open? What's the actual date?
We open, I think it's like the 7th of October, I think, in Manchester.
Have we got a bit of time?
We do a few, we've got previews in Bromley, which is always a fun place to go, and done a few shows there, and they're great. And then we open in Manchester. So, yeah, we've got a bit of time. It's a bit of pressure, it being my home city. And the posters are up already. My mum sent me a little selfie the other day in front of the posters in front of the Palace Theatre.
He's the boy.
Yeah. So Manchester, yeah. But it's just a great show. It's a juggernaut of a show, like, once you're on board. And I just think, you know, in these sort of, you know, turbulent times, shall we say, these times where every day is, I mean, I've had to delete a lot of the social medias off my phone because it's so depressing. No matter what you voted for or what you think, it's not fun, is it, what's happening? And actually, some nights you need just a little break and you can just leave your worries at the door.
Complete escape. It sounds like it is going to,
for the next couple of hours, let's just have a blooming good time. You know,
well, I can't wait to see it. So looking forward to it. I'll see you then. I'll come and see you after, wherever I do see
that.
Thank you. Carly Stenson.
Yes.
Yeah, because last time we chatted, you were in Les Mis.
Yes.
And, you know, doing a show everybody knows. Everybody's familiar with it. Everyone knows all the songs. Yeah. Now you're doing a show that we don't know.
I know. It is completely new. It's lovely as well, because I've never really done a show with a complete blank canvas. Normally I've got an idea of how someone did it. It did really well in Broadway. It was, like, I think 16 months in Broadway. But obviously I never got to see it. And only because of learning about the show and becoming a part of it did I kind of listen to the soundtrack. But I kind of wanted to come in with an absolute blank canvas and and learn it from scratch completely myself. So it's never been done over here.
No.
So, yeah, it's quite exciting that we are the ones that get to
present it. Because that is the nice thing, isn't it? Creating a part instead of the other person stood there and that's where their light is. Yeah. So you've got to do that and you've got to do that and do it in this
creating
way.
Creating it from the ground upwards. So, yes,
you play the role of Georgia Hendrix, like the gin. Yes, like the gin. And you play Ore's ex-wife.
Yes, yeah.
But he's still in love with you. I think we're not giving too much away if we say a bit of that.
Yeah.
Somebody gets murdered, we know that too, because we know it's a whodunit.
Yeah.
And I think this person getting murdered means that you get to take over their part in the
show. Yeah.
Am I correct about all of
this? Yes,
these
it is. Yeah, that you are.
If I was like a detective, which I'm not, I would say you certainly have motive.
That is true, although without giving too much away, it's not actually... Georgia wasn't meant to be the one who took over. So there was a little twist in there as well.
That might scupper my theory then.
So yeah.
Not I don't want to...
She actually wasn't her understudy, so it all kind of happens.
So how come she becomes her understudy?
It's the director's decision. He feels that the lady who wrote the show and knows the character better than anyone is Georgia who wrote it. So maybe she should fill in. And Georgia did used to perform, but that was quite a long time ago.
That's
very lucky. Yeah. She's got it in there somewhere. Or it's in a locker.
I love stories like this.
Oh,
I love
it so much.
It's honestly
so much fun. After coming from Les Mis of, you know, beautiful drama and to this, which is just so silly and fun. It's just great. But just brilliant. The score's fantastic. And, all the characters are great and they each come into their own. So, yeah,
it's great. It's 1959, so it's beautiful costumes, lovely dresses. Yeah. Have you seen your costumes yet?
Not physically in the flesh. I've seen pictures and how it's going to look. And I've tried on costumes similar. But no, I haven't seen it yet.
Is it very high heels?
No, I've kind of asked for kind of an in-between of not quite kitten, not high, just because there's a bit of dancing and movement in it as well, and just to be comfortable for, you know, the length of the tour. So yeah, not too high for me, unfortunately.
Now, you do a bit on social media, and I noticed that on Twitter you'd put a picture of your first day of rehearsals, your script and your pen.
Yes.
I criticise that slightly. I think you need a pencil with a rubber.
I do have one of them too, but it was a gift of the pen, so I had to put the pen in.
Are you very organised then?
So
I bet you look like you were really organised. It's all your lines and highlighter and all that.
They weren't on the first day, but they were by the second and third. But yeah, no, I'd like to think I'm very organised, and if I have any family and friends listening, they'll be like, ha! But no, I do try. I really do try with all good intentions, but I think I always end up dropping one little plate that I didn't quite see out the back of my eye. But yeah, I do try.
But and are you off book already?
No, not yet. On certain bits, I'm trying to be like my songs and stuff, and just we're kind of like rehearsing it kind of not chronologically, so we're kind of here, there and everywhere, so it's a little bit trickier to get off book, but yeah, hopefully I want to be putting it down by week two. I've not really got any excuses because I don't say half as much as Jason, so I'm kind of like, yeah.
But
I
you sing, you do a lot of numbers in this, don't
I
you?
I think we all do so many. There are so many songs in it. It is wonderful. So many more songs than I thought I'd be singing, actually, because we're all kind of collectively together singing them as an ensemble as well. But yeah, I suppose I do more songs than I speak, but I think words are easy to learn in a song.
And have you got one already that's coming out as your favourite number, or one that you think the audience are going to go mad for, or all of them? Or
I really enjoy singing Thinking of Him, which is the first number that I sing, actually, and I think maybe the second in the show. But what I really want to be able to say, so please ask me in 6 months, and I really want to say that my favourite is That Away, because it's mammoth, and it's a big kind of act one finale-esque kind of show song, but it's 7 minutes of me just giving it full throttle with wonderful people around me, and then I have to dance a little bit, and they're all dancing beautifully, and I just hope I don't kind of show them up. So yeah, dancing, singing and acting all at the same time.
And it's Kandra Nebb, and as we all know, who wrote Cabaret in Chicago. Can you tell from the music, does it have, you know, similarities to that start there? That start, can you recognise it as Kandra?
I don't think it's at first easy to recognise as their style if you're comparing it to Chicago and Cabaret. But probably a little bit more cabaret, actually. But now we're getting into it and we're getting to the bare bones of it, and there's very back and forth with men and women, and it's very playful. It's very, the women are taking control of the men at times, and then it's kind of banter-esque music. It's now you've kind of brought it again to my forefront of my thought process. I'm like, yeah, actually, it very much is. It can be likened to cabaret more so than Chicago. Mm. Yeah, there is an esque, but if you were to listen to the three of them, you probably wouldn't put this in the same bracket as them two at all. It's completely different, as well as. So I don't know how they've managed to do it, but yeah, it's completely different to the previous two. But there are elements of that kind of the back and forth with each other, the men and the women, and the kind of relationships between them, yeah.
And obviously it's not Bob Fosse type choreography, so puts it in a very different...
It's our amazing Alistair David, who I adore his choreography, because I love kind of choreography that it's... the you follow the lyrics and the words more so than the 5, 6, 7, 8, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's very much tailored to... You could almost watch it without the music and know what we're dancing about. If that makes sense. Mm-hmm. He's brilliant, and the moves are very hard, so I'm quite proud of myself. But it looks impressive. It looks amazing.
I'm sure it does.
Yeah.
Now, we know it's a play within a play, as mm-hmm. it were. And in the play, I think your character's from Kansas. Is that right? But then in the other bit outside the play, your character's from Boston.
Yeah.
So we've got two American accents going on here.
We've kind of gone for more... For Georgia, we've kind of gone that she's actually more general American, because I think there's quite a few Boston kind of accents in there. They kind of just wanted to soften mine a little bit. But yeah, with when she gets to play Madame Marion, she's definitely Kansas, yeah. And I'm quite enjoying that. That's what we were doing upstairs then. Right. So yeah, rolling our R's.
I'm sorry, I've missed that. Now, you've been in the West End doing Les Mis. How long is it since you toured in anything?
2015 with Dirty Rotten Scoundrels.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, 4 years.
4 years. Yeah. So you're looking forward to getting back on the road again?
I love a tour.
Do you?
Absolutely love a tour. I'm a Northern girl, so I love being able to go back home and go and see all those places up north. I love that I can say, because, you know, with being in this industry and being on tour in different places, you get to make friends. So to be able to say, oh, you know, when you go on holiday and meet people and say, oh, where are you from? Or I'm from, I don't know, Scunthorpe. Go around near you when I'm at, you know. So it's nice to be able to go and see family and friends around the country and get paid to see our beautiful country as well. Just to, yeah, the last tour I did, I was in Turkey over the summer and get to go to Glasgow again. Yeah, to go and see all
it's
these
not
places.
A bad life.
Yeah, it's amazing. The UK is brilliant. So, yeah, I'm really excited to see it.
We're excited to see this.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see it now,
oh,
especially having
so
spoken
fun.
To all of you. I'm really excited.
I mean, really is a lot
of fun. I've read up about it, but I just you all sound so enthusiastic and excited about
God,
it and positive and like,
we do. And it
this is going to be great.
Top. Our director, Paul, has just got such a gorgeous energy that it filters through. And I've not seen anyone roll their eyes or moan, or it's just everyone's so excited. It's a lot of fun, and it radiates to the audience.
Well, we'll tell everybody that some of the dates that there are, but they can look them up on the website.
Oh, yeah, it's
anyway
easy. Really
and
easy
follow
website.
All over the country, and there'll be,
please.
As you say, you'll be somewhere near everybody at some point.
Yeah, we will
so
yeah.
everyone can get a chance to
definitely.
See it
definitely
Carly
yeah.
thank you
thank
so
you.
Much for
Thanks
coming
for
in
me.
Good luck with the rest of rehearsals.
Thank you.
That was Ori Aduba, Jason Manford and Carly Stenson all talking about the exciting new production of Curtains. And if you'd like to hear any more of my podcasts, you can just download the lot off the website. Listen to all of this. There's loads of them up there. And if you enjoy them, then you're meant to rate them. You give them some stars. Please. Thank you.
Are you looking for a Columbus car dealership built on tradition and trust? Buyers Auto, family-owned since 1897, offers top new and pre-owned vehicles. Visit us or shop online at buyersauto.com. Buyers Auto, driving the next generation of buyers.